When you turn on the intelligence of your heart, you uncondition your mind. Shall we go there? I'm Danielle Laporte, and this is With Love, Danielle. Hola, my loves. I have been wanting to talk about this for a while. The subject today is cognitive dissonance. Because if we ever done seen it, these last few years on planet Earth have made cognitive dissonance like an Olympic sport. I have to start with two definitions for you. Let's throw down on cognition. It's a noun, the mental action or process of acquiring knowledge and understanding through thought, experience, and the senses, also known as perception, discernment, awareness, and learning. Cognition, aka cognitive. All right, dissonance, noun, lack of harmony among musical notes, a tension or clash resulting from the combination of two disharmonious or unsuitable elements, inharmoniousness, discordance, dissonance, cognitive dissonance. All right, let's make a sandwich out of those two. Cognitive dissonance is a term that was coined by psychologist Leo Fetzinger to describe, as he put it, the discomfort we feel when our beliefs are in conflict with our actions. Let me put that a different way. The inner backlash, the niggle, the something's not quite right, the anxiety we feel when our values and our morals don't match up with what we are thinking, saying, and doing. It's not a great place to be in. All right, so the discomfort we feel when our beliefs don't match up, where do those beliefs come from? Those beliefs, and even the actions and the behaviors that we are in conflict with internally, can often be inherited. Like we pick them up from our family, from culture, from popular media. This is also known as programming. We are told what to believe, we are indoctrinated, and we go along with it. But we know better. We know there's a different truth, a different way of doing things, and yet we go with the party line, even though we know inside. And what we experience here is a discomfort from the lack of alignment between our thinking and our actions. But sometimes we are not fully conscious of that discomfort, that misalignment, that friction can show up as sleepless nights, as headaches. You know, it can have a kind of somatic expression, can most definitely show up as anxiety. And when we've got that anxiousness happening, there can be some lashing out when our cognitive dissonance is challenged. When someone says, you said you believe this, but you're doing this. And then we just get angry about being called on it. Some examples might go a long way right about now. Let's say that someone deeply believes, like really truly believes, that all humans are equal, that all of us are equally loved and valued by the Creator, however you define Creator. But the church that they grew up in preaches condemnation for, let's say, homosexuality, that if you are gay, there is no entrance into heaven. And yet, that person who deeply believes that all humans are equal continues to attend that church, and they feel an inner conflict from doing so. That is cognitive dissonance. Let me give you another example. Someone believes, this is a belief, it's not a fact, right? Someone believes that meat production is frequently cruel. They believe that it's grossly damaging to the environment, that it creates inflammation within the body, and yet they continue to eat meat. And what happens? They feel slightly guilty, like every single time they consume meat. That's the feeling of cognitive dissonance. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you are on the belief. These are examples, right? So the cognitive dissonance, feeling one thing and doing something else. That's really it. I should have started with that. Feeling one thing and doing something else, knowing better inwardly, knowing better according to your own guidance. That leads to all kinds of internal battleground issues. But here's the main one, and this is what I'm on about. Cognitive dissonance lessens our ability to focus. So when we've got that inner strife, just a little bit of guilt, feeling like a bit of an imposter, it's going to be a hugely distracting energy. We won't be able to concentrate on what really matters, on getting the good things done, on hearing our souls clearly. Side note here, I recently did an episode on how to focus. Might want to go check that out. So cognitive dissonance can be a really beautiful prompter for growth. I mean, think of the example of the person that I gave of someone who believes that we're all equal in the eyes of the infinite. And yet they go to a church that condemns people who live a homosexual lifestyle. That inner conflict could create this creative tension that has them wake up to be a more loving and inclusive person. I mean, really, you just get to the point where you can't live with yourself. You embrace your own darkness. You learn to integrate and heal your own guilt. And in integrating all of those lower vibrations, you expand your mind and you become a more loving and inclusive person for other people. You include your shadow and your light and their shadow and their light, right? So, beautiful prompter for growth. We learn from the tension. We develop this higher desire, like a real sweet aspiration to do better, right? It's this evolutionary impulse that the dissonance kicks off for us. And where that leads us is we will reconcile our values with our actions. What we believe will begin to be in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our deeds. And I think this is really the work of spiritual maturity, of integrity. This is what it means to become whole. And this is really my point of all of this, this requires focus. We focus on what? On the heart center. We commit to living heart-centered lives. And what is dissonant, disharmonious within us is going to pretty quickly be brought to the surface. We're going to see where things are out of whack and out of balance. So let's talk more about the whackness, okay? Distortion. That's what I want to get into. Cognitive distortion, which is to say all or nothing type of thinking. It's all or it's nothing. So for example, I will always be single. I'm always going to be this weight, right? I will never, they will never, I will never attain my goal of, it's all or nothing. Those kind of distortions, cognitive distortions, are based on just broad, sweeping generalizations. So for example, everyone who eats ice cream is going to get fat. Everyone. People who don't think positively are going to manifest negative things. Everybody who doesn't think positively is for sure going to manifest negative things. So harsh, right? Or you could just fill in the blank. No one my age can do this, should do this, have that, is capable of whatever. You fill it in. So there's some compassion to be had with all or nothing thinking, right? It can be trauma-induced. It can also be just part of our cultural conditioning, just like kind of a natural part of how we were raised. It's the messaging that comes from family and religion and all of our influential people, right? That kind of distorted thinking, what it actually does is it has us believe and perpetuate damaging thoughts. So when we're believing untrue thoughts, incorrect thinking, which is to say unloving thinking, exclusive thinking, then we can't concentrate. We can't concentrate on the higher vibration stuff when our attention is on lower vibration lies, all lies, low vibe. It's like a way to visualize this is you could see these untrue thoughts hanging out in your auric field. It's like static on your own radio channel. And it's all distracting you from how you really want to live your life. Really want to live your life, like heart of heart kind of ambition. So we need to clear out all of the all or nothing statements that are stuck in our mind. So less noise equals greater concentration. Greater concentration on what truly matters the most to you increases the chances that you will manifest the good stuff. So as someone who considers themselves to be highly distractible as a creative with a capital C, I'm really teaching from lived experience here. I have a few tools in my own kit that help me with my concentration, that help me live from my heart and dissolve any dissonance I have between, hey, this is a belief I have, but why isn't what I'm doing matching my belief? They are as follows. One, I hope is the most obvious, which is meditation. And by the way, I hope you know by now, I have so many meditations, visualizations, and spiritual practices for you over in my shop at DanielleLaporte.com. I sit my butt down at least 5 days a week on a meditation cushion, or I do a walking meditation. I will often be gazing at a candle, so I keep it about 4 feet in front of me, as high as I can get it. Sometimes I'll put it on like a chair or a stool, so I have that flame sort of at eye level. And my experience with that is that, first of all, I just love the energy of the element of fire. I feel like it's a little miracle every time I light a match and create a flame. So I'm calling in that purification capacity. And then also just the singular visual gaze starts to quiet my mind. I'm taking in less information, and therefore thinking fewer thoughts, and therefore moving into my beingness, my heart center, where I get the clearest, highest direction. Another thing I do to concentrate is I do the same meditation over a long period of time. So this isn't about duration of meditation. I mean, currently my practice is, you know, some days it's 20 minutes, some days it's 10 minutes, some days it's an hour or more. But what I've been doing is working with the same practice for many months. I go deeper. I have fewer questions coming from my mind about the practice itself. So concentration that helps me get into alignment with my heart and my mind, dissolve any dissonance I have, and meditate. Okay, super practical. I have been practicing, I'm new at this, the Pomodoro method. So the Pomodoro method was, if I learned this correctly, a methodology for time management, or I would say time responsiveness, created by an Italian psychotherapist named Pomodoro. And this is how I do it. I mean, I may be putting my own spin on it, as I do with a lot of things, but figure out what you want to focus on in terms of a creative project. You set a timer on, oh my God, I was so resistant to this. Like, I don't want to be timed. But it's actually working for me. It's really kind of quieting my mind and my nervous system down. You know, two are related. Quiet mind, nourished nervous system. Set your timer, 20 to 30 minutes. I set my timer for 34 minutes because 34 is my favorite number and because I'm still addicted to being an overachiever. And in that focused time period, you're not doing all the distraction things. You're not taking care of the baby. You're not checking social media. You're not in Slack. You're not checking your phone. You are going deep into the project at hand. The timer goes off and you take a quick break. And for me, that quick break could be, you know, I stretch, I go get a glass of water, or I task switch and I do all the other fanatical things and check Instagram, etc. You do a series of those focused time blocks. And after you've done four of them, then you take a real break, a real stretch, a walk around the block, 30 minutes, whatever it is you need. You have lunch. Yeah. Pomodoro. I'll leave it in the show notes. It's really helped me. The other way that I focus, which helps me get my actions in sync with my heart, is that I listen to solfeggios. Let me spell this for you so you can do a search for it if you want. S-O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O-S. Solfeggios. Solfeggios are different sound frequencies, 6 or 7 different vibrations, different hertz. And you can find solfeggios done by all different kinds of recording artists. The one album that I really love to listen to is the Solfeggios created by Meditative Mind. That's the name of the artist, Meditative Mind. And just a side note, I have a whole library of mantra and meditative playlists that are part of my Heart Center membership. And what happens is the energy healer named VS, who I co-create all of our spiritual practices with, blesses up particular mantras and tracks. And those are all available to the membership. I listen to the Solfeggios on repeat, either out loud during the day, especially if I'm feeling any kind of anxiety, or sometimes I'll have them playing inaudibly on repeat at night when I'm sleeping. Fourth concentration thing I do, which is related to the Meditative Mind music, is I pretty much only listen to instrumental music when I'm working now. This is a fairly new habit. I mean, I got through high school exams by listening to loud rock and roll. There was a lot of Blondie. There was a lot of Cure going down. Got me my solid B to A plus. And then for years, I would write books and blog posts to, you know, different recording artists. Like Sade got me through most of writing the Desire Map. But I have found recently, and at first I kind of thought, I took this, you know, as a failure, that maybe I'm getting hypersensitive, but I just cannot create from a deep, generous, wise place with other messaging being pumped into my mind. That really, to be as clean as possible, as receptive to higher wisdom as possible, I need to keep that clutter out of my head so that I can give you the good stuff. So only instrumental now, mostly jazz, never fusion, because that is, fusion is confusion for me, and lots of cello. Yeah, if you really want a great lead for cello, there's a playlist on Spotify that I did not create called Mellow Cello. It's really beautiful. Or listen to anything by Yo-Yo Ma. All right, now let's go back to our topic at hand. I have an exercise for you specifically on cognitive dissonance. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You could do this right now with me as a journaling exercise. You could grab a pencil and we could really go for it. Or just kind of go along for the ride with me. Answer the questions to yourself. If you want the extended version of this, head to daniellelaporte.com/lovenotes. The love notes are always free. That's where I've got PDFs and screensavers and prayers and micro versions of meditations. And for this week, with this episode, you will find a deeper version of the cognitive dissonance questions. Here we go. The first one. Name one all or nothing belief statement that you have about yourself. I'm going to give you an example of each of these to help walk us through this. So, just take the time you need. What's an all or nothing kind of statement a belief, an opinion that you have about you. Here's a suggestion. As an example, some of us might say to ourselves, I can't get fit. Then you've got all these stories around it. No matter what I do, how hard I try, this time of my life, my genes, whatever it is, I just can't get fit. Okay, so we're going to work with that thought form throughout this little exercise here. Okay, so the next question is, what's a counter belief or a counter statement that's going to soften that all or nothing statement you made about yourself? What's a correct thought that will remedy that incorrect statement you have? So I'm just going to continue with, I can't get fit, right? So the alternative, the healing response to I can't get fit as an all or nothing statement is, lots of people get fit. I witness people, I know people, I see people having a before and after with their fitness. That's one thought that's going to dissolve or soften that all or nothing thought. Here's another thought. The body knows how to heal. I know that the body knows how to heal. Even though I doubt it sometimes, my deepest belief is that the body knows how to heal. Now, my suggestion here is that for every all or nothing statement that's probably negative that you make about yourself, you come up with multiple softer, more correct counter beliefs to dissolve it. Really want to pour on that extra love. Okay, I have four more questions for you. What's one sweeping generalization you have made about yourself? Just one. Could be negative. We're trying to clear out the negativity here. I'll give you an example. A sweeping generalization about myself. I'm an outsider. I'm an outsider wherever I go. I don't fit in. Feel like I got to earn my keep. This has been happening all my life. You can hear the harshness in this, right? Sweeping generalization. So black and white. So brittle, right? Okay, so you know where we're going with this. What's the sweeping generalization you've made about yourself? And then what's the counter belief? What's a counter statement that's going to dissolve or soften or correct that generalization? So, I am an outsider would become, I'm welcome wherever I go. My experience is that I am invited to so many things in life. Another thought that's going to soften, I'm an outsider. I have such deep, beautiful friendships. And then a really high vibration thought that's going to correct the incorrect sweeping generalization. I'm a beloved of God. I am included in the creative unfolding of life. So again, you got something sweeping. Anything that's black and white is full of inaccuracies. And you're going to heal that brittleness with a correct, universally true, illuminating statement. Okay, second last question. What's one situation where your knowing, or your belief, you could say, your knowing, your beliefs, your values, is in conflict with your actions and behavior? So I'll repeat that to you. And then you could do this from the past or from the present. Could have been a way that you were previously. So what's a situation in which your knowing or your values or your belief currently or have been in conflict with what you said or what you did, how you behaved? And I'm not going to give you an example for this. I'm just going to let your mind be open. Take some breaths into your heart. This requires just a little bit of courage, or the answer might be there for you right away. And here's a little bonus side note for this. When you have that thought, when you see that sort of visual vignette of that time or currently where there's that dissonance happening, no judgment. You are witnessing it. You're observing it in the softness, the spaciousness of your heart. You're not here to condemn yourself. No critique. All loving, spacious witnessing. Okay, last question. So go back to that observation of cognitive dissonance. When your belief did not match your behavior, what would reconciling that look like? What would reconciling that situation feel like? What would reconciling that conflict require from you? I have some beautiful energies in the form of words to send us out. You can really sink into these. Before I do that, let me just drop in. If you head to daniellaporte.com/lovenotes, you get all these questions and more. And then also make a note that I am doing a webinar called Business Unfurled. It is going to be this deep dive description in how I turn my career, really, and my business around in 4 months. There's been so much growth. You head to daniellaporte.com/events. You'll get all the information. Take a deep breath into your heart. Bring in the energy of these words. All of which, by the way, are the antidote, the remedy to cognitive dissonance. Harmony. Integrity. Accord. Cooperation. Wholeness. Peace. You have all of that within you, and you have the courage to do what it takes to get all of the pieces, the fragmented pieces of you together, all those little bits of dissonance, all in one place, corralled in the center of your heart, so that you are flowing love and light and truth into every thought, all of your speech, and all of your deeds. Harmony, integrity, wholeness. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.